We begin Perek Shnayim Ve'Esrim, the 22nd Perek in Hilchos Ishah, Laws of Marriage, in the Rambam Sefer Noshim. But the Rambam continues in the theme of the previous Perek, where he began now the rights of the husband in regards to the wife's property, in inheriting her, and in regards to her assets. Some ideas the Rambam is going to discuss in this Perek is the halachas of the Yerusha, the inheritance that the husband gets, B'nichsi Ishta, in the properties of his wife, and regarding a wife that's forbidden to him, the halachas of a katana, a minor, and the chareshes in regards to this, regard to a deaf-mute wife, the halachas as it plays out with nichsi melug, and nichsi tzarim barzel, regarding the husband selling his wife's property that she owns, regarding the selling of that of a wife and a shemeris yavam, regarding them selling their properties, the ksuva of a yavama, as it relates to that of a woman that's has yibum with her brother-in-law, regarding if there's a matana, a gift to a woman, almanas, on the condition that her husband should not be able to eat the peres. Regarding if a woman sells her ksuba with what's called tevis hanah, which is a risk benefit that she could sell to someone else. Regarding the lachas of kefil, that a ganav, when he pays back something that he stole, when he's repaying for, when he stole the that of a vlad, of the child of a behema of nichsi melug. That if someone damages, someone harms the woman, and he has to pay the nezik tzarim b'yishus, who does that go to? The husband or to the wife? And regarding receiving deposits from nashim, avodim, and ketanim, where we don't really trust them necessarily, and therefore it's a question regarding what to do with those items. So begin halacha aleph. The Rambam opens up with the husband's inheritance in his wife's properties, in his wife's assets. So the Rambam, habal koidim l'chalodim, halacha aleph, the husband is first for any person to be Yerushas Ishtai in inheriting his wife. Now, from when does he merit being an inheritor? Because he wasn't related to her up until now. Is Meshetetze Mishos Av. It starts when she leaves her father's domain. And Vavapishadayin Lo Nichnas Al Chuppah, even if he did not yet take her to the Chuppah, in other words, which is bringing her to his house and secluding with her. But Hoyl Vanas Meshos Baila, once she already left her father's domain, she's already in her husband's domain, even though they didn't do Chuppah yet. Yerushana, he inherits some. As the Rambam explains, Halacha Beis Ketzad, how so? So Isha Shenis Arso, a woman that was engaged, Umisara Vila Bala, and her father had gave her over to her husband, Oyla Shluchi Bala, or even to the agents of her husband, Oy Misru Shluchi Avla Bala, or let's say it wasn't the father sending his daughter, it was the agents of his father to the husband, Oyla Shluchav, or the father had sent with his agents, and they encountered the husband's agents, and they gave over to them. And then, and she dies on the road before she even goes and enters to the chuppah with him. So, even if the movable items that her father designated for her dowry, that ksuba, which is her property that she brings into the marriage, it's still in her father's house, the movers didn't even come and bring it yet to his house, still, she's already in the husband's domain, and Bala Yarsha, the husband inherits her. So too, if let's say the father was going, the agents of the father were going imabal with the husband. They're going all together from one town to the next town to his house. And on the road, the husband goes with his kala into the courtyard. And he secludes himself with her over there. For the purposes of being married. Then umesa, and then she passes away. So then her husband goes and inherits her, because from the moment that he secludes with her for the purpose of getting married, she's already then in the domain of her husband. Now, but if let's say the father is still with the husband, they're all escorting her to her husband's household, or at least if the agents of the father going with the agents of the husband, or with the husband himself. And even if the husband goes with his kala to the courtyard to sleep over the night, like the way people are staying in the inn, in the motel, they stay in one hotel on their way as they're traveling. So since the father or his agents are ima, are still with her, and the husband has not yet secluded himself with his kala for the purposes of marriage, so then the mace at that point, if she dies, Yerushana Avia, then her father will inherit her. And even if her stuff already in her husband's household doesn't make a difference, she has not yet left her father's domain, and therefore her father will inherit her. So too, if let's say she's already become a begeris, where then her father has no more rights in her, or she's an orphan, no father, or even if she's a minor, but as long as she was widowed from marriage, her father has no more rights on her, as we said in the third parak. Now she's going on her own from her father's household to her husband's household. Her father has nothing to do with it anymore. Now, but her husband's not with her, nor his agents. She's going on her own. And on her way to go to her new husband's house, she dies on the road. So the husband's not going to inherit her. That although she's engaged, again, we said the husband does not inherit her. Now, but if her husband or his agents were going with her to her husband's household, then she would already be in his domain to inherit her, even if she has not yet had chuppah, and then he would inherit her. But since she was going on her own, her husband does not inherit her. Halacha dal. Hanoisi isha shi asurulai. What happens if he marries a woman that's forbidden to him? Not that of the arayis of Karis, but that which is isra lav, or isra asay, or those which are shnius, which are rabbinically forbidden, as we said in the first parak. So hoil b'yesh lebal kedushin, since these forbidden women, at least, but kedushin is taifiz, they are halachically engaged. So mesa tachta, so if she dies while she's with him, married to him, Yerushana, he's going to inherit her. And b'chein ha'noisa seketana. So too, if he marries a minor orphan, who had, or someone that left already her father's domain, so avad b'shein kedushin, kedushin gemur, although it's not a full-fledged biblical marriage, it's only rabbinically, and that's why this halacha mean that she could refuse it and go without a get, but in mesa tachtav, if she dies when she's with him, Yerushana, he will inherit her. Because, in contrast, if someone marries a minor that doesn't even need mian, like let's say she's under 6 years old, then he doesn't inherit her because there's no marriage here at all. But here, since it's at least a rabbinic marriage, so then he does inherit her. Now, let's say it's a mentally sane man who marries a deaf-mute woman. In Mesa, if she dies, lo yirishena, then he's not going to inherit her, because just like she doesn't get a ksuba, as the Rambam said in Pirkei Aleph, so too he doesn't inherit her, and she's not a bas das to be able to go ahead and marry him in her properties. So there's no ksuba, which different that doesn't give him any rights, just like it doesn't give her any rights, and she's not also have the ability to, on her own, be giving her properties to him. Now, but a deaf-mute man that marries a fully sane woman, and she dies, Yerushana, he will inherit her. Why? There's no ksuba if either one of it is a cheresh or chereshes, but sharehi bazdas, because she has her intelligence, uladaitanissus, and with her consent she got married, and therefore she merited to him her monies. And actually there are times that she will get a ksuba from him. For example, if let's say the courts are doing him a favor and getting him married off, so because of that, there is some halacha over here that he will go ahead and be able to inherit her if she dies when she's married to him. Halacha hey. If a minor gets engaged with her father's consent, but she gets married without her father's awareness. So bein b'fanav, whether it's in front of him that he's over here, bein shalei b'fanav, whether he's not here, he's somewhere else, far away, Yochalav Limchis, the father could protest, like we explained in the third parak. And Vafilashasakaav, and even the father is silent, in Mesa if she dies, Ina Bal Yersha. The husband's not gonna inherit her because the father's silence is not proving anything, because it could be he just steaming and he's just holding it in. Elam Kin Ratzav Benisueha, unless if the father, when he's still alive, explicitly gives his blessings, he gives his consent, then they'll be considered married, and then the husband will inherit her. But if not, she's never considered married, never left the father's domain, and therefore he's not going to inherit her if she dies. Now, halacha vav, hayu ha-goyinim, the goyinim ruled, she'isha shechalsa, if a woman takes ill, ubiksha mebayla she'igershena, so she's requesting from her husband, before she passed away, that he should divorce her, v'teitzu b'l'ksuba, and she'll even leave without a ksuba. But she's doing this kedesh leirushen that he should not inherit her. So in shemala, we don't listen to her. That filam, and even if she comes with a claim, she says ani sainos, I hate this man. Ve'in yirutzlam, I can't stay with him anymore. In shemala, we don't listen to her. And moreover, ve'in don leisa gedim meredes, we don't treat her like a meredes, like a rebellious woman. Where the Rambam said in Perek Yedalad, okay, then we force him to divorce her right away because we can't force a woman to stay with a man that she doesn't like. It's not true because. V'din Yafa, who says Ram, and this is an appropriate ruling because her whole intention is just to just not let her husband inherit her. So that's why she's making up this whole claim. So even though generally we would force him to divorce her, that's not going to be the case in this situation. Now, Ram Halacha Zayin continues regarding the woman's assets in regards to selling those assets. Says Ram, Kol Nechasim Shesh Leisha, all the properties that a woman has, which she brings into the marriage, whether it be what's called the iron sheep properties, which the husband accepts responsibility for. He's ensuring that value when the marriage is over. Whether the properties which he does not accept responsibility, it's her loss or her gain. Either one of these properties, what she brings into the marriage, habal oichel kol perisehem b'chayah. He uses the utility, he gets all the profits, all the payers in her lifetime. And v'meisa b'chayah bala, if she dies when her husband's still alive, yerish bala hakol, like we started off this parak, he inherits everything from his wife. Now, lefikach, therefore, in machar isha nichsim alog achshanisis, now we're speaking specifically here about regarding nichsim alog. If the woman sells, which are really her own properties, but she sells it after she gets married, even if she inherited these properties before she even got engaged, and therefore it's totally all hers, but the husband could extract the payers from the ones who bought it from her, because, like we said, the payers, the utility, the benefits are all meshubatim. He has a lien on that, and she has no right to sell that. So he, as long as she's alive, he could go ahead and extract the payers from the consumers. Now, avalagovakarka, but he cannot extract the actual property itself, because he has no rights in the property itself. That's owned by the woman until she dies. But if she dies when he's still alive, then he could actually even extract the properties themselves from the ones who bought it from his wife without paying any money, because the chacham made the husband, when he gets married, like a lekeach. He's the first lekeach, and he comes before their lekucha. So he already, quote-unquote, bought it before them, but that only takes effect when she dies. So therefore, when she dies, then he could take it without paying any money. Now, but says Ram, but if the monies that she had collected from the ones she sold it to, those monies are still around, then he has to give back those monies to those who had bought the land from his wife. Then he can't say, oh, maybe there's not the money. Maybe there's money she found. Maybe that's what these monies are. It's not really her monies that she had that she sold, which those are her monies. And now we're finding in her drawer over here, her own private stash. Maybe it's really Metzia money. He can't not say that. And rather, we consider that as the monies that she had gotten from selling those fields. And you have to give back those monies to those lukuchas, because again, really it wasn't sold. It was really sold, quote unquote, to the husband originally. And that's why he gets to take it. Now, halacha ches. But when do we say this all? We're talking about properties that were known to the husband, and he knew that his wife had this when he got married, and it was with that intention that he married her, because he was anticipating that when she dies, he's going to inherit all these properties. But let's say she had this properties that she got in some other country. The husband never knew about them. And she sells them. That's going to be a valid sale. So too, if a woman's engaged, Shemachu couldn't assume that she sells off what she has before she gets married. So mechakayim, that's a valid sale. She'en lebal menechzer rusasik lo machayichdis, because the husband has no rights in the properties of his woman that he's engaged to until he gets married to her. And therefore, since she sold it off before, he has no rights to them. So alacha tes. Ha'isha shekasav akal nechasel la'achar. So let's say a woman writes all her properties to someone else. Being carved, whether it's a relative, being rachik, someone who's not related to her. And she does this all kodesh tinasa before she gets married, which again, her whole intention is what's called havriach nechasel mebailo, which is just to chase away her husband from her assets that he shouldn't merit and get those rights to them. So says the Rambam like this: Afa bishim this gosher and this almanah. So even though when she's going to get divorced and get widowed, tibotel hamatana, that gift that she gave to this other person, that's going to be null and void. Commissions bar b'hilchas matana, like Rambam's going to explain hilchas matana and the laws of gifting in Perek Vav, which he explains over there that she's really only trying to get out of having her husband inherit her. But when she wants it, it's going to go back to her. Like the Gemara says in Subas, that a person would never leave their own stuff and just keep it to someone else. Her own intention is just that it's not in my bank account that he's going to get it. Even so, in the balechel perisam, still the husband is not going to eat the pears, although she's really going to get it back at the end. The husband does not eat the produce of this field. And v'meis b'chayim, if she dies when he's still alive, in the yarshim does not inherit them. Shari nas no isim kodesh tinas. She really gave it away to someone else before she got married. And it's like this other category of properties which are not known to the husband, because he thought that, yeah, it's a bona fide gift to someone else, and therefore when he got married, he did not expect getting those properties. Now, ukeshutamis b'chayim balam, and if she dies in the lifetime of her husband, so yikne mekabel hamatana matnasi kinyagamis, then the one that she gifted it to, where although, again, she would have gotten it back, had she been removed from this marriage before dying, but here that she died when her husband is still alive, the one that she gifted who gets it as a bona fide gift, because ultimately he has a document of gifting before everyone. Now, if she would have only written partial, then that person would have married it right away, even if she got divorced or widowed, because she left over something for herself. So obviously what she's gifting to the person is a full gift. With the moment that she's gifting everything, that's the thing, really she would get it back, but if she dies, that person will be able to hold on to that gift. Not only that, even if she gives some of her assets or all of them before she gets married, she writes to the one who's receiving it. I want you to acquire what I'm giving you today and when I'm going to want it. So it's not yet fully the person's. So therefore, the person has not fully acquired until she wants it. So in a way, you could say it's still hers. No. The husband's not going to eat from the produce of those gifts. And Vimason, if she dies, Aini or she's not going to inherit her, because again, it's like properties which are not known to the husband because he's not relying on them. He thinks it's like gifted to someone else, and therefore he has no rights in them. Halacha Yud, the Rambam continues now regarding selling the assets of a Yavama. Halacha Yud, she marries Yavam. Means literally the woman that's waiting for the Yavam, where her husband died without any children, she's waiting for her brother-in-law to either do Yibum, which is marrying her, or Chalitza, which is this type of divorce for the Yavama. So when she's in this state of where she's the widow, and she's waiting for the Yavam to see what he's going to do, Yeshla Limka Velita Bebatana, she could sell or give as a gift, Nachasim Shenafla, regarding properties that she acquires, Kishi Shemer Yavam, when she's in this state as a Shemer Yavam. Because the chiddush in this is, although a regularly engaged woman that gets assets, she initially is not supposed to sell it because generally the engaged woman is going to be married and therefore it's really going to the husband. But a Shemes Yavam, she could be for Chalitza just as much for Yibam, which therefore she retains the rights over her properties and therefore she can do whatever she wants with them. And Ve'in LaYavam Peiris, and the Yavam does not get the produce. Afila B'nichsi Tzern Barzel Sheikh Nisa L'Achim. Even the nixit term barzel, which is somewhat of a chiddush, where the husband has some rights in those that she had given to the husband when she got married, because in contrast, let's say Paris nixit malug, which she brought into the marriage, that's totally hers. And if she dies, her father inherits her. So, but even nixit term barzel that she had brought into the marriage to his brother, he has no rights to this yavim achiyichnis until he actually gets married, does yibum to his sister-in-law. Now, mesik shemeres yavim. Let's say she dies when she's still a shemeres yavim. And the Yavam didn't do anything, not even an achalitz. Now the Yavam wants to inherit her because ultimately there's this concept of zika. There is some type of a pull to this Yavama because the Torah mandates that like the almost the halachically engaged where he has to do either Yibam or Chalitza. So he wants to say like, oh, she's like married to him. Now, however, but her inheritors from her father's household, they come to claim and say, no, that's only a doubtful marriage because maybe he would do Chalitza and maybe she's not married. So therefore, they want to hold on to their initial rights. So the halacha is like this. Yosheha may have her inheritors from her father, which are from her family. Yershin b'nichsei milug shalosh. So they inherit her nichsei milug, because that's definitively in her domain, because that, if it goes up in price, it goes down, it's all her loss or gain, and she leaves her husband, like the Rambam says in Perek Tzayin. So that's in her chazaka, and therefore her family inherits that. And also the chatzi nichsei tzern barzel, also half of the nitzim baz, that's in doubt, like we said, maybe it is like married, maybe not like. Now, the Yerusha HaBaal, Yerushim Ksubasa, now the inheritors of the husband, they inherit Har Kesuba, which is the primary and the additions, because that's in the Chazaka of the husband, where she wants to extract that. Out of doubt, we cannot extract it from the husband, so they inherit the Ksuba. And the Chatzi Nitzim Baz, on the other half of the assets of the nitzim Barzel, they inherit again out of doubt, because maybe she is like married, and if it's like in the Chazaka of the husband, which is the Yavam, where if it goes up or down, it's they're responsible, but maybe she's not like married, and therefore it's becheskes the Yershim of the woman, who she had brought with it from her father's household. So as the Gemara says in Ksubas and Bava says, since they're both coming to inherit, and we don't know, so they split it. And the Yosha Baal Chayav Mikvarasa, the inheritors of the husband, the Yavam, they're obligated in burying her when she dies, because as we had previously said from the Rambam, that the Kvarasa is Tachas Ksubasa. Whoever gets the Ksuba, that's what the burial is for. And since they're getting the ksuba, because she's not getting it from them, so they have the obligation to go ahead and bury her when she dies. Halacha Yidalf. Shemeres Yavam, again, this woman who's waiting for Yibum. Ksubasa al kol nechsei bala. Her ksuba, which she's still owed, is on all the assets of her first husband, where, as Ram had previously defined, that all his properties are responsible for ksuba, and the Yavam does not write her a new ksuba, rather it's on the original first husband that the ksuba is owed from. Lafikach, therefore, says the Ram, in a Yavam Yochalim Kabin Chzavah. So the Yavam, the new brother that's taking over, cannot sell anything from his brother's estate, bin Kaidim Minachayim, whether before he does Yibam or even after does Yibam, that now this Yavam becomes his wife. Doesn't make a difference. She has a lien on all his properties. Let's say he sells or he gifts or he splits with his brothers and his brothers, his departed brother's estate. Whether before the Yibam or whatever, whether after Yibam, Lo Yisakum hasn't done anything. Because these properties are already indebted to the widow. To be able to collect her ksuba, no matter how much money is there, it's all indebted to her, and therefore he has no rights to sell from those properties. Halach Yud Beis. Kana says Yibam. Okay, let's say he does Yibam, and he marries his Yivam. Now, so he inherits, the Yavam inherits his departed brother's estate. And his brother left over payrois, there's fruits, that are mechubam lekarka that are still attached to the ground, which has the same halacha like the ground, and they're also meshubatar ksuba, just like ground is. So he has no rights to use it. It's all har, it's all indebted for ksuba, no matter how much money is in the estate. So what you do is, what do you do? It's payrois is not going to last. You machu, you sell those payrois, be lokamem karka, and you purchase ground with them, land with them, real estate. But yavam mechel payrois same. So then now it's land which is indebted to har, but the yavam will eat those payrois because even her own land, where now that the yavam becomes her husband, the husband, like we said, is zeicha to the payrois. He eats the payrois. It's just that, but this is considered indebted to har, so it's har like har karka, and so she gets to keep that land which is indebted to her, but then he eats the payrois. Now halacha yud gimel, but let's say he nech peres tulushim lekarka. Let's say his departed brother left over produce that was already detached from the ground, or v'chenim nech moisim etalim. Let's say he left over monies and movable items. Sakol shi'yam. That's all the yavam who inherits his brother. U'mishtamish b'em k'moish yirtza, and he utilizes it as he pleases. V'enech elakim, and he or she cannot stop him. The yavam shematalim inek suba nikvas b'em, because movable items she cannot collect her ksuba from them, and therefore she has no lien on it. Ela b'takan sa'goin. Rather, as the Rambam explained perek tazayin, from a goinik takano, she's able to collect from a talent. But the inkoich batakana zu, but is not the strength and the force of this post-rabbinic, that of the ge'inik takana, l'man of nechzav, to stop him from his brother's estate, ula asam la b'chorei zu, shleiz v'idim, and to make it forbidden him from harlin, that he shouldn't be able to do business dealings with it. No, he is able to, and that's unlike that of real estate. Or like we said, payrus that a mechubar l'karka, which is like real estate. Now halach yadal. So yivama shlo hais l'ksuba, what's with if yivama, this woman, her husband died without any children, that she did not have a ksuba because what happened was that her husband died when she was just engaged, which halakhically didn't have to write one yet, and he didn't write her one, where she doesn't collect anything. So no, let's say she just was meichel, she pardoned him, she waived her rights to her ksuba. So zachav nechzi achav. In this case, the yavam merits everything in his brother's estate, and therefore he could sell and give as he pleases, because there's no lien to the woman in her ksuba because she doesn't have a ksuba. Now, however, in this case, when he does do yibam to his yivama, then he does have to write on his own a ksuba of 100 dinarim because she's a ba'ula already. She was already married. And then all his properties are now have a lien to her ksuba. Just like all other women that have a ksuba, where usually the yivama is on her first husband, but she didn't have a ksuba from him. So when he's doing yibam, he has to write her ksuba. And then his properties are indebted to her. But again, he could do whatever he wants with his brother's estate because there's no lien from her on him. The Rambam Halacha Tezvav continues with the theme that he mentioned before regarding the selling of the woman's properties. Halacha Tezvav. Let's say the woman sells or gifts achashenesis, once she's already married, from the iron sheep properties, which is hers, because the husband is somewhat his in a way because he's insuring it, and if it goes up, he gets the gain. If it goes down, he gets the loss. But let's say she sells from a nechzit zer barzel after she's already married, bein labala bein lachem, whether to her husband she sells it to or to others, tzalach is lost, she hasn't done anything. Why? When she gives it to her husband, she could claim, I only did it because I wanted my husband to be happy with me, but she didn't do it wholeheartedly. When she sells it or gifts it to other people, for sure there's no validity because it's in the husband's domain because he is insuring it. So therefore, she has no rights to go ahead and sell it. And mechim baal shemocha karka b'nechzeh. So too, if the husband sells from his wife's property, and here it's b'nechzeh sem baza b'nechzeh melug, either one of them, lo yisakum, he hasn't done anything because it's totally void right away. Because although she's not, she doesn't have any claim to the nechzeh sem barzel until she's leaving the union. In contrast to the Ravid, actually, he disagrees with the Rambam at this point. But since it's not normative for the woman to go after the courts, after he dies or when she's getting divorced, to have to go ahead and collect from the kuchas, so therefore we say that right away it's going to be void and nechzeh meluk are hers, and he has no rights to sell it. And so even Nuchtzitz or Mezel, either one of them, we say that, according to the Rambam at least, that it's right away he hasn't done anything, contrast by the woman, where we were speaking about that it has, she hasn't done anything when she's suffering Nuchtzitz or Mezel. Now, continues the Rambam halacha de Zayin, Macher mitaltlin shen Nuchtzitz or Mezel. Let's say he sells the movable items of his wife's Nuchtzitz or Mezel. Now, says the Rambam, Avbi shen Rishai, although he's not really allowed to, because if he divorces her, she's going to take it with her. It's really, it's owned by her. But a mocher, if he sells it, mimkar mimkar, it's a valid sale, because here it's unlike that of real estate, which that never gets used up, and she's dependent, she's relying on that when she's going to leave the union, she's going to have that. So therefore, then his sale is void, as we said in the previous halacha. But movable items, where he gets to use it, the nechzitzar in Basel, and if it would get totally ruined, she wouldn't be taking anything back with her, so she's not so dependent on it. Therefore, even if he sells it, it's going to be a valid sale. Now, let's say mocher shnei benichzim aloik. Let's say the two of them, they sell her nichsim alag. So, bein shalakach ben ish, tchilav chazalak ben ish, whether they first buy from the husband and then buy from the co-owner, so to speak, the wife, or bein shalakach ben ish, chazalak ben ish, whether they first buy from the woman and then they subsequently buy from the man, here michir kayim. Here the sale is going to be valid. And here it's unlike we had said in the previous parak. Here she can't claim and say, oh, I own nachas ruach hasis labali. I only did it because I wanted my husband to be pleased with me and he wanted to make a sale and so on. As the Rambam is going to explain, here that doesn't apply and therefore it's going to be a valid sale if they are selling it together. Aloch yedzayin, v'chein isha shemachra, so if the woman sells aynas nechsim lug labala. Previously we had spoken about the woman selling nechsim term basel, which to her husband others she hasn't done anything. Here the Rambam talks about what if she sells her nechsim loig, which are very much hers. And that's the point of this halacha and from the previous halacha. If she gifts it or sells it to her husband, mimkar matnasa kiyaman, her sale and her gift is valid. And the einichay lemem nechsim loig, she cannot say by the nechsim loig, nachas ruach hasis labala, I just wanted to do something pleasing to my husband, because since it's totally hers, so there's not going to be any hatred from the husband if she doesn't sell it to him or to others. She's not afraid of her husband protesting because, what do you mean, it's totally hers. He has no rights in it whatsoever. And therefore, if she was silent, she didn't protest. So then, if she's going along with it, then it's going to be a valid sale. Now, b'shan d'chazam, regarding all other properties, yesh la'loimar. Then, she could make such a claim and say, nachas ruach hasis labala, I was just doing it for my husband. In contrast, nechsim loig, she cannot have such a claim. Therefore, if they both sell it to someone else, it's going to be valid. Or even if she sells it to her husband, or gifts him, it's going to be valid. Now, lach yitcheh, says Ram Ketzer, how so? So he says, the isha shemachrei nechsim labala menechzitzarim barzal. Here we're going back to explain like we said in lach yitcheh. If a woman sells or gifts her husband from the nechzitzarim barzal, bein karka, bein metatlin, whether it's real estate, whether it's movable items, oh, he sold the sheikh b'ksubas, or it's one of the fields that he designated for her in her ksuba, meaning after they got married, he designated, says, look, don't worry, if anything happens, this land is poitiki, it's going to be designated, you could collect your ksuba from here. Oh, he sold the sheikh b'ksubas, or a field that he wrote to her in the ksuba, when he got married to her, so he put in a field, and he designated, okay, this is going to be for your ksuba. Oh, he saw the sheikh nesloshu mishalai, or just a field that, in correlating to her dowry, which she brought in a field that he brought in a field from his own to write in the ksuba to say that that's going to be in correlation to the dowry, as the Rambam explained later on Perich of Gimel, in the next pairing. Either one of these, if she's selling any one of these, again, because we said nixi maluk is the one exception in the previous halach, as Rambam explained, but Olad Nechasim, he says that she could make such a claim, which are all these other cases, all the other types of properties that the woman has rights to. Here, if she sells it or gifts it to him, like on the Baal, her husband has not acquired anything. Because as Rambam explains, Vav Pishakon Miyad Isha Ritzayin, and this is even if they acquired from the woman with her consent, Chayzeres B'chalei Shatirta, she could back at any point that she wants, because most definitely, she did not wholeheartedly acquire to her husband these fields that are somewhat indebted to her for Aksuba, and this that she went along with it was only because she was afraid he's going to say, what? You're afraid I'm going to die, or there's going to be divorce, and that's why you don't want to go along with this? Like the Rambam says, because she only gifted or sold it because she wanted peace and harmony in her home. The fikr, therefore, says the Rambam, the husband has no proof in any of his wife's properties at all, except for nechsim loig, like we explained in Halacha Yedzayin, in the previous halacha, where then we said, okay, then she could gift it or sell it to him, and then he'll have rights to it, but all other ones, even if she went along with it, it's not valid. She was only doing it because she was afraid, and therefore he cannot hold on to it at all. Halacha Yotes. Nechzitzar Basel. The Nechzitzar Basel, Sha'abdoi Sh'nignu, if they were lost or they're stolen, Umachli Isha Isim Labala, and then the wife waived her rights that she has on the husband, where he insured. Anything happens, he's responsible. if she pardoned him, and he inquires from her with witnesses that she's pardoning him. Says the Rambam, Yirali Sheinu Yichel Leimer. It seems to me that she cannot say, "Oh, Nachas Riches is Lebal." Really, I didn't want. I really wanted him because we said only Nifsi Meloig is the one that he could acquire from her. But everything else, she could always come with this claim and say, "Oh, I really just want the husband to be okay with me." Here, she cannot make such a claim. Why? As Rambam explains, Holamaz Adam, what could this be compared to? The Mishkan of Yadav, if a husband acquires from his wife's hand, Shein Lachrayis, that she's not going to have any lien that he's responsible for insuring. Meaning, that she went and she turned the Nechsi Tarim Bazel into Nechsi Melug, where he does not have responsibility to insure. Oh, like in such a situation, which is essentially the same thing, where she's pardoning him, or she switches the Nechsi Tarim Bazel to Nechsi Melug, Shahari Inabal maybe Roy Little Klum, the husband's not bringing proof that he should be taking anything from her, or to take possession of her properties, and he part of Mitzvah Lasham. All he's trying to do is to be exempt from her claim from paying, so there's no gifting, it's just forgiving of a lien. Oh, that says the Rambam, well, that could work, that the husband could be exempted. Because Avalam Nosan Le Matana, that what we said before is, let's say, if she's giving him a gift, Mitatli Tzern Barzal HaKayyaman, from the existing Tzern Barzal, that's where Lekana, that's where he does not acquire him. The Sheyesh Olam, this you could say, Nechaz Ruchaz Yiz Lebaili, I was just doing a favor to my husband. But regarding exempting him, that we wouldn't say such a thing, and therefore, if he does acquire from him, from her, that he's not responsible, that then actually he's going to be exempt. Halacha Chaf, the Rambam continues with regarding how to deal with the properties of the wife. Says the Rambam, Baal Shemacha Karkala Peris, if the husband sells this land that's for Peris, meaning, essentially, if he sells the Nichsi Meloik, which is that the Lekeach is going to eat the Peris, but the actual property is going to remain with the wife, which is that really, Nichsi Meloik, although it's all hers, but he does have the rights to the Peris, and the husband sells the land for its utility for someone else, Lo Yasu Klum, he hasn't done anything. Why? Although he has the rights to the Peris, why can't he sell it to someone else? Says the Rambam, because Memneishle, he's skinu Peris Leish, although we instituted that the husband gets the Peris, we didn't institute it, El Kedela Avich Betzaz Abayis, only that there should be a surplus in the expenses of the house, which is that there should be a lot of food in the house, that he'll be good to the wife because what she has, she bring it to the marriage, oh, they'll have a lot, they'll be able to enjoy life, but just to go ahead and sell it to someone else, that he has no rights. Now, the fickle difference is the Rambam, Mimochel Peris, if he sells the land for the produce to someone else, and he's using those monies for business, to be able to have more money to be able to use for the house, well then Shemile, then we listen to him, because again, it's all coming back to the home, which is for the purpose of having a better marriage with this wife. Now, halacha chafalf. Hoyle ishik safim. Let's say the woman had monies. So, if they're nixit term barzalim, mean to say that the husband accepted that he's insuring these monies, and the gain or the loss is going to be his, so he could use it for business dealings to make a profit margin on it because he's taking responsibility. But the nixim alaygim, let's say nixim alayg, which is all hers, she's gaining or losing, he just gets to use the payers. Then bein shech nisa oisam loy. Now, so whether if, let's say, she brought these properties into the marriage when she got married, or bein shenafali birusha, whether she had it as a inheritance, whether it was gifted to her, or let's say she inherited, she got this windfall of movable items, was given to her. In these situations, what you do with these monies, since it's really all hers, he has no rights in it like the Nechsi Tzern Bazel. So what you do with the monies is you sell them, and then you purchase real estate with them, and then he uses those produce, the benefits of that karka, because although Nechsi Tzern Bazel, he gets to use the payers, the Nechsi Meloig, if he would use it as it is, as monies or movable items, he would deplete the principal and she would be left with nothing. So rather what you do is, you use those monies of the Nechsi Meloig to buy land, and then it remains for the woman, and then he used the payers of those Nechsi Meloig. Now, halacha beis. And that's because that's why different Nechsi Tzern Bazel. Nechsi Tzern Bazel, he's insuring her, so she doesn't get what happens. Nechsi Meloig, she doesn't get insured, but he gets to use the payers, therefore rather you first turn it into land, and then he gets to use it. So do a woman that if others injure her, she gets injured in an accident, something happens, she gets hurt. So all the monies that are fit to go to her, which for compensation, so what you do is, since the husband gets to use whatever she gets, and again, we don't want to leave it as monies because then he's depleted, you look a bankarka, so you buy real estate with it, so that retains she retains the principal. The husband could use the benefits of it, like the Rambam explains in the laws of injuries. Halacha of Gimel. Nafala avadim. Let's say she inherits slaves. Now, Ava Bishim is king, although they're already elderly, and anyways, the principle is going to be played very soon. These slaves are passing away. Still, lo yamachu, the husband cannot sell them. Neshevach beisavia, because of the praise of her father's household. Meaning, as long as they're alive, it's a beauty, it's a nobility that she, so therefore she could stop the sale because it's something that's praiseworthy of her father's household. So to nafal zeis megvan, let's say she inherited olive tree or a grapevine. And but she doesn't even have in the land itself any rights that the trees are in it, klum at all, where let's say her father had bought just the tree, not the land, where that he'll just use the trees until it dries up. So it depends. If the grapevine or the olive tree produces enough that it'll cover its expenses, then you don't sell it. Again, because it's praise of our father's household. But if not, it doesn't even cover its expenses. What you do then is you sell them for firewood. Then the money that you're getting, you purchase land with it. Again, and then the husband uses the Paris, and again, the land, which is the principle, will remain by the woman. Let's say she inherits produce that's attached to the ground. So this goes to the husband, because even though it did not grow in his property, but it's still going to have the lucha status as Paris, and he could eat it because the principle, which is the land, is still here. Let's say Telushim Nakarka. Let's say she inherited produce detached from the ground. So that's Shalah. That's not Paris. That's the principle itself. So that's hers. V'machur v'lucha memkarka, and they sell it. And then you purchase land with that. V'lucha Paris, and then he eats the Paris of that. Avla Magarsha, let's say divorces his wife, Ohila Paris Mahuam Lakaka Bhaz Girishin, there was produce attached to the ground at the time of the divorce. So although we say when he marries her, he gets those Paris in Mukhabam, because that's the Peri of the Karka. But at the time of the divorce, Harila Shalah, she actually gets to take it with her, because since he did not detach it when they were still married, so he didn't merit it. But the Mahit Lushma was already detached, Harila Shalah was already his, and therefore she doesn't take it when they get divorced. Halacha Fei, Abdi Nixim Alayk, the slaves that are nixim alayk, which again are properties that she's bringing to the marriage that's totally hers, and he could just, however, get the payers. Oh, so too, behemoth nixim alayk, the animals of nixim alayk, habal chayv b'mezayin shalem, here the husband has an obligation to feed these slaves and these animals, u'b'chotzachem, and regarding all their needs, and it was with that intention that she put into the marriage, because if he's not going to feed them, they're going to die or run away, and he's going to do that because he's not responsible for their insurance. So therefore, he's obligated to feed them, and v'hem oisim loy, and they work for him, and he gets to use the paris of these slaves and of these animals. Now, the figure therefore is the Ram of Vlad Shavkas Maloig, the child of such a maidservant that's a Nixim Maloig, is Labal, goes to the husband. And Vlad Bemis Maloig, the child of this animal Maloig, is Labal, goes to the husband because it's the peri which he has the rights in these Nixim Maloig. Now, Vimgation, if he divorces her, Vrotzi Ishalot and the woman wants to pay. She wants to take the child of that slave because these slaves have been in the family for years and she's leaving the marriage. So though the husband got it because of payers, we listen to her again because Shevach Mesavia gives her certain rights. Let's say she brought into the marriage two vessels, or two maidservants, in the category of which is, again, if there's an increase or a decrease, it's the husband's. He just gives back as the value was when they got married. Now, when they got married, these kelim or the shvaches were worth 1,000 zuz. But then, they went up in price. Now, each one is worth 2,000. The gershon, the divorces are, so they tell us echad be'alav shalah. So the woman only takes one of the two, which is the 1,000 that both were worth, because they doubled in price, but she only gets that value, so she only takes one. Vasheni, the second one, imrotza shetit and damav. If she wants to go and pay the monies, and again, to take it because of these are from the grandparents that they inherited these china or these slaves, then Shemel again, then we listen to her again for the same halacha of Shevach Bezaviyah. Halacha of Zayin. Hanoisin matanel ishtav. Someone gives a gift to his wife. Bein shonos la karka, whether he gives her land, bein shonos la mois, whether he gives her money, v'lochem en karka, and she buys real estate with that monies. Ein la baal payers b'matanel, there's an exception. Here the husband does not get the payers of this gift. And let's say someone gifts to the wife, specifically, this is for you, this is not for your husband to eat the peiris, rather it should be the peiris for the wife, whatever she wants to. Here also, in the husband does not eat the peiris of this gift. And in another case, is also if the woman sells her ksuba with what's called tevis ana, which is the benefit that she gets in this sale, which is not a real sale because it's dependent, if the husband dies when she's still alive, then that purchaser will get, but if she dies, he's not going to get anything because he's going to inherit it first. So those monies that she gets from selling kesuba goes to the woman. Here also the husband did not eat the pears, and these are exceptions to the rules of the husband getting the pears. Another halacha similar to this says Ram halacha chavches, and that explains the previous halacha that we just said. Vlad behemes maloik shenignav. If the child of an animal of maloik shenignav that got stolen, now v'nimtzagam they find the thief. The halacha is v'shil mishnayim and he pays double, which is halacha of kefil. Had kefil isha, that double the penalty goes to the woman. Why? There's the pre which there's the actual pre which goes to the vlad, we said goes to the that goes to the husband because he gets the payers of the nichs malik. Here the kefil is going to go to the woman. Why? She'ain zeh quote unquote pre shatikun lacham. This is not the pre that the sages instituted because it's like payers. It's a derivative of the derivative, which is coming from somewhere else. And since it's a payer coming from somewhere else, because the derivative is the child of the nichs malik, and here it's the kefil that's coming because of the theft of that one, and it's coming from somewhere else because of the laws of kefil. That, and so too, that's the similar of the halacha of the previous halacha regarding selling harksuba, which is also pre of the pre, coming from somewhere else, that the Chum did not institute for him in the laws of pre. Now, achevel be'ishtay, another exception to the rule is if someone harms his wife. So kala nezek, all the damages, which is when someone gets compensated for injury, about tsar v'beisha, and the pain and the embarrassment, which someone gets compensated by nezek, shalah is all hard. Vena balacha bears, and the husband is not going to eat the produce. Like the Rambam explained, the halachas of damages, the reason for that is because based on the primary halacha, really, it should all go to the woman. Even if someone else harms her, it's just only because the husband also gets somewhat embarrassed and also in pain when she gets injured, so therefore he gets those rights of the payers. But here when he himself harmed his wife, and he hurt her and he embarrassed her, why would he take payers? Now according to the Ravid, the reason why the husband does not eat from the payers that's coming to her is because there's a penalty. Because he did shalai kagan, he did something wrong, a sinner, where he made the injury, he definitely cannot get the payers in this situation. Halacha Chavtes Ram continues regarding, what if you find monies by the woman, how do we ascribe, what type of status do we give to her? As Ram says, if someone sells the land for his wife, so, meaning, he's selling land to his wife. He has land, and he's selling to his wife. So, if let's say these monies that she's using, the husband and wife, they have their own bank accounts, and they have their own properties, and the monies that she's using to buy the land from the husband, where he's selling it to her, are gluim v'dum labal. He knows about those monies. Then comes to, she acquires that field, then it's like anything that she owns, which, it's hers, but it's nechsi maloig. And so the husband, it's hers, but then the husband eats the pears from the karka. But, and this is the main point, but if let's say the monies were hidden, he never knew about this. He's like, I don't know, she doesn't have any money. You know what, let me try to see, I'll sell her land. And she comes up with this huge amount of cash, like, so she has not acquired the field. Because the husband's going to say, no, there was no sale over here. I just wanted to find the money that she was hiding, which is really, I have rights to, which she was making like she didn't have money in some secret bank account. So they're rather the money that now they discovered, you look him in Karka, what you do is you purchase other lands. I mean, he gets to hold on to his land. You purchase real estate with the Babalach of Paris, and the husband eats Paris from those lands. Halacha Lamet. Harisha Nimtu Mois. Let's say they discover money or movable items by the wife. He never knew this. Some secret drawer, some storage that she had. He and Mershi says, B'matana Nitli, was given to me as a gift. The boy says, not true. This is the wages. I was always wondering, you always came home with half the salary that I thought you were supposed to get. Shame Shali, which actually the whole Maisidam all goes to the husband because he feeds her, he gets all her wages. So I raised in the menace. She's trusted, she's believed with her claim that it was really gifted to her and he doesn't own it. But he can make a chayrim, which we've mentioned many times, the Ram says to excommunicate whoever is making a claim which is not true, which if it really is his because it's her wages. But she's believed. But you look at Mkarkas, or rather what you do is, like all her properties that she, let's say, was gifted, you buy real estate with it, boy, Paris, and it's her like Nixim Lug, but he gets to eat the pears. Now, Vimamu, let's say she says, not only that was a gifted to me, Amanos Kainit Nuli, it was given to me on the stipulation, Amanosh Li Laval Rishusbem, which there are those types which we said, that the one who gifted to me said, no, it's only for you, and your husband should have the rights with them, El Esbem Kol Mashetza, that I should be able to do with it whatever I want to do. So that would mean that he wouldn't even get Paris. For this, she has to bring proof. The onus of proof is on her. because any money that we find by the woman, it's the assumption that the husband gets to eat the peres until she brings proof that it's not like that. Let's say she says to him, what do you mean? This money that I have, you're making this big expose? You gave it to me as a gift. Which we mentioned that as those things that he does not eat peres either. So Nishbashwas has to shunasla balsa here, unlike the other halacha, here she has to take a rabbinic oath that her husband has actually given it to her, because the husband making a definite claim that he didn't give her any of these monies. And we believe her, and he does not eat any of the peres, because a woman would not have the audacity in front of her husband to say something that he knows what the truth is or what's not, and therefore we believe her, just like she would, we believe her to say that she was divorced, and therefore he does not get the peres, like we said in halacha chavzayin. Halacha lamed beis. We did not accept deposits. Not from women, not from slaves, and not from minors, because we have to be concerned that maybe they stole it, and that's why they're depositing it by someone else, from their husband or from their master, and you're not allowed to support and assist sinners, and when you don't accept from them, they're going to have no choice but to give it back where they took it from. Let's say this person violated this and received the deposit from the woman. So when the time comes, he gives it back to the woman, we don't have to presume that she's a thief. Mace, if she dies, you'll give it back to her husband, because even if it was hers, the husband inherits her. Let's say he did take it from the slave. So you give it back to the slave. But if he dies, you give it back to his master, because anyways, whatever was anyways his master's. Let's say he received the deposit from a minor. So then you can know by Sefer Torah, then you don't even return it to the minor. Here you go and you purchase a Sefer Torah for him, and you don't give it back to him because he doesn't have a safeguard. It's like just throwing it out to the garbage. Rather, you purchase a Sefer Torah that he can learn from, and then he has the peiros, the utility, and then the principle is maintained. Or anything else that he could utilize the peiros, and the principle is maintained. Now, all these that we spoke about, the woman and the slave and the minor that they said when they were dying, this deposit that I give to that person to watch really is that person's things. If they were presumed to be trustworthy, the one who was deposited by goes and really knows this woman and this slave and this minor, and they were presumed to be trustworthy, so then they should do like that dying person was commanding. But if we don't know to be what that this one who was depositing it, even that they were trustworthy, then even your shame, then we give it to those who were generally would inherit them, this minor, the slave, or this woman, and we don't give it to whoever they were claiming it was when they passed away. If a woman had monies that were fit for the husband to eat the peres, which is generally almost anything that the woman has, he says, okay, let's buy this and this type of thing. She says, no, it's my monies, you get to use it, the peres, but we're going to buy these types of assets with it. So what's the halacha? Says the Rambam, has nothing to do with either one of them. Like in Dava, we purchase something, which has a lot of utility, which is the gain of the husband, and has a little expense. So for example, let's say he wanted to purchase land to plant, and she wanted to buy houses, we're going to buy land where there's a lot of gain, and it is maintained. Whether it was something he wanted or whether it was what she wanted, it doesn't make a difference. It has to have those qualities. And also, we only purchase something that the trunk that will regenerate, which you could utilize the payers, but you won't lose the trunk, and rather it will regenerate like a forest. Because maybe the husband's going to consume it all, but inside Karen, it's going to come out the principle, it's going to be lost, and she's going to lose everything. So rather, it has to be something that regenerates. Now the Rambam concludes in Halacha Lamed Aleph Lamed Hey, regarding the utility of the woman's properties. Said the Rambam, Ha'isha Shechnis Lebalam, if a woman brought into the marriage to her husband, Eiz Lachalava, a goat for milking, meaning it wasn't even her own goat. She had the rights, however, regarding the milking of the goat, and she brings in those rights to the marriage. Over Rachel Gizasa, or the sheep, only for the shearing of the wool. Over Degla Peresiv, or the palm tree for its produce. Although she doesn't have the principle, she only has the utility of these items, the husband could go ahead and utilize these things up until the principle is depleted. And let's say she brought in certain utensils in the halachic status in the category of nichsim alaik, which again is hers, but he gets to use the peiros, so these utensils, he could use them. The leibish, or matziah, or machase, he could clothe and spread out and cover and use these things until the principle is depleted. When he divorces her, he doesn't have to pay her regarding these items having been worn out of the nichs malug, because that's the payers, and if it gets depleted, it gets depleted. Now, how are the goyim ruled? shenichzi tzern barzel, that the properties of tzern barzel, afa pishe b'chisah samalabal, although regarding the primary halacha, the deficiency, the diminishment, is the husband's responsibility. But if the worn out items were still around, and also it would still be able to function in its primary function, although it is a little bit worn out. Now he tells Kalea Kamashem, when she leaves the marriage, she takes it as is. And that is, he doesn't have to comment it, although when she got married it was worth 1,000, now it's only worth 750. She just takes it as is, and he doesn't have to comment it. Now, but let's say it didn't function in its in the original function, then it's like as if it was stolen or lost. And then he has to compensate her for the value that was evaluated at the time when they got married. And says the Rabbi, Minik Pasha was there, and this ruling of the Gainim is a widespread custom. And when he gets married, it's with this custom that he's accepting the responsibility of the dowry, which is that he's not going to have to compensate her, again, if it has the original function, and it's still extant. In its original state, it's just worn out. Now, but says the Rambam, it goes two ways. Just like he doesn't have to pay for its deficiency, so he doesn't gain the profit. If let's say devaluate the value, according to this custom, if it's still in its original function, and even though it went up because it's not antique or whatever it is, then he doesn't either get the gain. Now, the Rambam concludes, he says, Yesh lebal locha if miktas avdi ishta b'maisel, the husband could force some of the wife's maidservants and slaves, which are hers, but that they could have to serve him in the house of his other wife that he married. And the reason why this is because when they're serving him in some other house, they still gain in this house, because then she doesn't have to serve him. And what's the difference if the slave is serving in her house or in some other house? Meaning, if they weren't serving the husband in some other house, rather that other wife, most definitely, then she could stop that. But when it's helping the husband, which is helping her, although it's in a different house, he could still have them, force them to serve him there. And this is Ben Shoy Avdi Meloig, whether it's Avdi Meloig, Ben Shoy Avdi Tzimbrad, with Avdi Tzimbrasel. Aval, in Yochala Halichim Lir Acheresh, Limitasish, but he cannot make them go with him to another city without his wife's consent, because if he's in another city, then there's no gain for the wife over here, because then she has no responsibility for him in some other city, and because she wouldn't have any obligation, not really helping her. And again, like we said, this utility that the husband has is only for the gain of the wife, and then he wouldn't be able to force the slaves to go with him if it's in another city.